So this morning, let's find some text here. Would you go to Matthew 27, please? While you're turning, how about if I do a couple things as a pastor to you that you need to know? Please, in your bulletin, and I'll show you here how it works. Sharon just has done a great job with this bulletin. And right up here where my finger is, you see that yellow right there? Be sure to read that. Our community service, worship service, is going to be on the 31st of August. It is, I don't know if Paul Bunyan Day is over that day or whether there's one more day. Is there one more day in Paul Bunyan? Nevertheless, this is Sunday morning. And I think I told you recently how the Lord has begun to cause several of the pastors of us to begin to come together. And so because of that, we are going to bring our churches and we're going to gather together on that Sunday morning. And it'll look something like this, where there's an 8:30 breakfast. It's free. And it might be the pancakes that Tim is talking about. I don't know. And there'll be just music, fellowship. You need to bring your chairs. You need to bring water and your Bible. If you want to bring something to go up and over the top of you, whatever you need, just in case the sun might be a little bit warm, do so nevertheless. We're going to be sitting out in the grounds there in front of the amphitheater. Should be a marvelous morning. So breakfast is 8:30. The service begins at 9:45, and the service is over at 11. So you can see I didn't necessarily have a whole lot to do with the time frames in there. And I just can't imagine you have church and be done at 11. I've never seen that happen. So I don't know how that works. But you ought to come just to see if we can carry through with it and see how it works. So it's going to be a wonderful morning. And here's one thing I'm really looking forward to, is I'm looking for that we can get to know one another in various churches of life-giving flow. And we get to meet each other. And wouldn't it be better to do it here than in heaven? Yeah. I think so. And so I just, I'm looking forward to that. Praise God. It's going to be a good thing. It seems like there was one more thing. Was there something else I was going to share with you? All right. I thought I'd catch you there and you would tell me, oh yeah, Pastor, you're going to let us out early. No way. Praise God. So have you turned to Matthew 27?
Yes.
And did I say Luke 23? I had to leave that for last. Luke 23.
What was the scripture, Pastor?
Pardon me?
Which one was it?
Matthew 27, Luke 23. I wonder, Shane, could I ask you to just bring that whiteboard over here? And when I'm done, I'll have you take it back. And if you don't mind. I was reading this about an infidel, and who also... He was an infidel. He had a little daughter. And so this infidel, he taught anybody that would come near. He said he just didn't believe in God at all. And so one day, the little girl, she proudly told her father, she said, when I come home, Daddy, I want to teach you what I've learned because I'm learning to read. And so he said, well, honey, I would love for you to teach Daddy what you're reading. So she said, when I come home, Daddy, that's what I'm going to do. So she came home, and he said, you see that board that's down at the bottom of Daddy's bed? You see that down there? He says, I want you to read what's on that board. And So this is the part I want you to see. I think it makes more sense if you can see it, and I've put it before you. It said this, of course, nowhere. He said to his daughter, sweetheart, I'd like for you, if you will, I want you to just study that for a minute and try to read it, and I'll know that you're learning to read if you can read what Daddy's put on that board that's down at the foot of his bed. So the little girl looks at the board, and she's thinking about it, and she kind of has learned phonetics a little bit. She's working on it, and all of a sudden she says, I think I've got it, Daddy. She says, I think what it says is that God is now here. Well, you can imagine what happened to her infidel father. He was beside himself. And from what I understand, it just didn't take long for this to work through. And finally, he actually began to develop a relationship with the God that he said was not here. And that's the way the Lord works, isn't it? Is that some of you may think this morning that you came in and you just couldn't get all this worked out that's going on in your thoughts and your mind, and you can't get it worked out in your home or your kids or on your business or whatever. But I want to tell you, I wouldn't be too aggressive about saying God is nowhere. If I were you, I would consider saying that God is here this morning and he's going to meet us right where we are. How about you? You believe that? Shane, you can move that back for me if you'd like. Thank you. I appreciate it. Last week, if you were here, I spoke to you about the idea of beginning with, as far as God was concerned, that we need to make a decision. And I mentioned to you about the idea that we have to make decisions. We just don't kind of, que sera go through life. And we just say, well, yeah, God's kind of there. I think we have to make impactful decision that Christ is the anointed one, that he is the Lord. And when you look at the Greek and you find out what anointed is, it refers to Messiah. And what's really interesting is when you go back into the Hebrew, you begin to find out that also that they believed in a Messiah. And unfortunately, their Messiah, they expected he would be a man that would not have any powers, would not be as God himself, but he would only be a man that could lead them into war, could deliver them from Rome, and give them the freedom from bondage that they had. The problem is that God had another idea, that he was going to send an anointed one who would be Messiah, and that he would come, it was not that he would have a sword like Peter would to cut the ear of the servant high priest's ear, but Jesus would come under the name and the power of his Father, and they would make war upon darkness. And Jesus would make war upon the evil, and he would lead people to him to come to Christ as Savior and Lord. And I'm so grateful to understand that our Messiah today has come to give us hope, and is hope that never leaves. Do you believe that? So, and as I'm asking you to consider from last week to make strong decisions to choose, I'm asking you to choose that Jesus is Lord this morning of your life. Can you do that? I've never met this man personally, but I've admired him from a distance. His name is Dr. Evie Hill. And this is a true story of a radical group that threatened to kill Evie Hill. Now, Pastor Hill was African-American pastor. He preached constantly in the city of Los Angeles. He was a pastor. And as he preached, this group that could not stand his preaching, he was so right, what happened was that they sent him a note, and they said to him, they said, Dr. Hill, they said, if you continue to preach on the name of Jesus, that will be your last. You will not preach anymore. So Evie Hill went and he spoke to the police. And he told them, he said, this is what I've been told, and what do you think I should do? And they said to him, they said, Pastor Hugh, we think what you should do is that you should vacate your pulpit for a little while and let things die down a little bit and things will be better. I don't know if you've ever seen an African-American who's on fire for God as a preacher, but he was not for that at all. And he said, there's no way. He said, I can't do this. And so the church's deacons decided, all right, then what we're going to do is we're going to come up and sit on the front row. And Dr. Hill can preach on the name of Jesus all he wants to preach. Quote, he says, I want to call his name out loud. I want to proclaim him as Lord of the sea and Savior of my life and whoever can hear me. I want to, even if I were to leave this world, I want to leave this world declaring Jesus is Lord. That's the kind of decision I think is awesome to make. Don't you think so? It really is. I want to share one more thought with you, a story. I've known this for years. It was a true story. And did anybody ever know or have association with Kenneth Gobb, who was an evangelist? Anybody know Kenneth Gobb by name? Let's start here. Does anybody go to church here? I know you do. You know, Kenneth Gobb was a tremendous preacher, actually, a great evangelist. And in 1970, he was on Interstate 75, which is the interstate, I think it goes north and south, but it was the interstate that was south of Dayton, Ohio. And as he's driving along, it just sounded like to me he was probably in some sort of a living quarters, like a motorhome or something. And he told his wife, he said to her, her name was Barbara. He said, Barbara, he said, I'm struggling. He says, I'm really struggling with ministry. And he says, you know what I really need? I need God to talk and speak to me. He says, I feel so disillusioned. I just want God to show me a sign that he as the Lord and Savior, he is my King that I preach, Jesus by name. He says, I just want him to speak to me and give me a sign. Wow. So he's driving, and as they're going south of Dayton, Ohio on Interstate 75, he sees a sign. And the sign says something like pizza, burgers, whatever, Dairy Queen. Now, I don't know which one of those names caught his attention. I would believe it was probably the word Dairy Queen, two words. And it caught his attention. He said, Barbara, he said, sweetheart, we're going to pull in. He says, I need something. I want to get me something. So he pulls in. And as he pulls in to this place, he discovered that it was a pizza place. It was also a Dairy Queen, and he could get just about anything he wanted to get. So he gets out of his motorhome, and he starts walking towards the building that he was going to bring the food back to Barbara. And as he's going, back in these days, this was in 70, back in these days, they had what was called, some of you have never seen these, I know, but they had what was called a telephone booth. It was about 30 by 30, and you would push on the door, and you could go in, you would close the door, and it was just you, the telephone, and the operator. Anybody ever seen those before? Have you? I grew up on those in my town in Packwood, Washington. That was the only way that we could communicate in Packwood, because Pony Express came every other day, and you had to be able to work somehow through that telephone. So this is, again, true story. I think I told you that. So Kenneth Gobb, evangelist, he's going to pick up some food. And as he's walking across, all of a sudden, the phone's ringing. And he's thinking to himself, the phone's ringing. So he keeps going a little further, and the phone keeps ringing. I'm about to fall off the stage. I don't know what's going on with me up here. And the phone keeps ringing. And he says to himself, he says, you know, I think what I better do, I'll just answer the phone, and whoever's trying to call, I'll just tell them, you need to try somewhere else because there's nobody here. So he goes into the phone booth, and he takes the phone, the receiver, puts it up to his ear, and he begins to say something kind of like this. He says, hello, hello, hello. And all of a sudden, he hears a lady's voice. And the lady's voice, she says to the operator, she says, "Oh, that's his voice. This is Kenneth Gobb's voice. Please, please don't hang up on me. Please, please." Finally, the lady says to him, she says, Brother Gobb, I've been trying to reach you." Now, I don't know if you realize, Kenneth Gobb is on Highway 75, south of Dayton, Ohio, pulled in to get him a pizza and something from the Dairy Queen. And now he's talking to a woman, and he has no idea who this woman is. Oh, did I tell you before that I really go any further, that sometimes by faith we believe that God can do anything he wants to do? Did I tell you that? She says, "Oh." She says, "Brother Gobb, I've been trying to reach you. And I didn't know, but I tried, and it's your voice." She says, "I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania." And she says, "I'm desperate. I'm desperate." And she began to weep right there. And he's listening to this woman weeping. She says, "Oh, Brother Gobb," she says, "my name is Millie." And she's weeping. And she says, "I've got you. I've got you." She said, "I've been so desperate that I've been preparing a note." I'll use this. She says, "I've been preparing a note to leave because," she said, "I was going to commit suicide." She said, "There is no hope. I found no hope anywhere. I could not find it. It didn't exist." And she says, "Then I thought to myself, maybe I could try to find evangelist Kenneth Gobb, who I've watched on television, and maybe somehow," and she says, "Oh no, but that's impossible. I could never find him. I don't even know. I think he's in his office." And so she said, "I'm going to continue." So she took and she kept writing this suicide note and telling whoever her loved ones were, I assume, why she was doing this. And then she says, "Something strange happened to me, Brother Gobb." She says, "All of a sudden, these numbers begin to come into my head." And she said, "These numbers were," and I thought, "What are these numbers? 497-1621. And there was a prefix prior. She says, "I wrote this down," prefix, "and then 497-1621. I wrote it down." And she thought to herself, wouldn't that be wonderful somehow if that were evangelist Gobb on the other end of this note or this line? And then she says, "I know. Somehow I found you. Your offices are in California, aren't they?" And he says, "Well, no, ma'am. My office is in Yakima, Washington. And I'm south of Dayton, Ohio. And I'm standing in a payphone. And I've never talked to you before." She says, "Oh, how can that be?" And then all of a sudden, he realized that he had said to his wife, he said, "Barbara, I am so disillusioned right now in ministry. I need God to send me a sign that he is in control and can do anything he wants to do." Amen. And so as he's standing and he's looking at this receiver and he can still hear her sobbing on the other end, he looks to the heavens and he says, "God, you have spoken to a disillusioned preacher and told him that you're in control of his life and ministry." Amen. Kenneth Gobb took the receiver, continued to take the receiver. I don't even know where the operator was in all this. The operator had to be praying. She was probably an intercessor praying for this whole thing. And he takes it and he says to her, Millie, "Yes?" He says, let me pray and minister. And he began to pray for her and ministered to her and called out in the name of Jesus
that God could go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and touch a woman named Millie and could break the bondage and the power that the enemy has against and give her hope and freedom in Christ like he's never known. She's never known. Listen to me, church, this morning. I'm telling you that the God of heaven can do anything. I'm also telling you the day is upon us to make up our minds that we're not going to wait until we're 25 or 45 or 75 to make some pretty strong resolutions. Today is the day of salvation.
That's true.
To make your resolution that Christ is Lord and you're going to serve him.
Amen.
Look this way. I want to also tell you that there are really nice things in this life. There are fuzzy things. There are things that feel good, things that sound good. There's things that everybody else does. It doesn't mean you should do it. When you come to Christ and he speaks life into you and begins to make a command, not a command, but a suggestion of love that you are my daughter or my son or my children, I suggest at that point, you make your mind up. You're going to serve him at that point with everything in you.
Amen?
Amen? I just wonder if our amens now are the same when we're starting to run through things where we don't know what to do with Jesus. And we say to ourselves, I'm not sure what to do with Jesus. I'm not really sure at all. And you know what? This is crazy. Click, hang up the phone and say, this stuff is crazy. How can Jesus do anything like this? I don't know. But all I know is that if Ma Bell in those days could run your voice from the Atlantic to the Pacific, Jesus can do anything he wants from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Because he is Lord and he's King of glory, is he not? He is. So I'm saying to you this morning, listen to me. When your heart says, no, that's not true. God really is nowhere. I'm saying to you, let's consider something else. Study this just a little bit. God is now here. And he's right here today. And he's here to meet you. You believe that? I do. I'm so grateful. I had a brother. I mentioned him last week, I think. But my brother is kind of midway between Reno and Vegas. My brother's worked really hard through life, heavy equipment in the big mines, driving equipment as big as this building practically, just unbelievable things he's done. When I finally was able to listen to his wife, she told me on the phone, she said, Lynn, she says, Dave is in the hospital. He's in Reno. He's 2 years younger than me. And she said, I just got to tell you that it's his heart, his lungs, and he is absolutely disillusioned. He can't put rhyme and reason together. What would that be called?
Disoriented.
Yeah, whatever that was, that's what it is. And I said, oh, no. Well, let me tell you how big Jesus is. So we began to pray, didn't we, honey? We started praying for Dave. I think we put Dave on the prayer chain. And we began to pray for my brother. 3 days ago, I'm sitting in the church office. Sharon will vouch for this. And I'm sitting in the church office, and I thought, it's time, right now. Right now, I need to call my brother. So I take my phone. I don't text him. I called him. And I go, I take a lot more patience with my numbers now, because when I've done that too fast before, I've got wrong numbers, and I don't want to do that. So I punch the number in, and I put it to my ear, and I'm waiting for my brother's voice. Finally, I hear his voice, and it sounds like it's muffled, and I could maybe understand about every fourth to fifth word, maybe. And I'm listening to him, and I hear him say something like this, "Brother, I can't breathe. Nobody's helped me with oxygen." And I'm thinking, did I just hear what I'm hearing? And what he was saying to me and translating was, he says, I'm here
And I'm in this specialty hospital where they do therapy. I'm translating. He didn't say this. And he said, what he did say to me was, finally, he's, I can't breathe. I was supposed to, an hour ago, I think it was, have oxygen brought in. I was be hooked up again to oxygen. And he's saying to me, can you help me? And I'm thinking, dear brother, I'm in St. Mary's, Idaho. What do you mean, can I help you? And I didn't say that because I'm a lot more courteous and gracious to my brother. I'll wait till I can see him and I'll smack him good. And I said to my brother, I said, Dave, are you with me? How many's with me? I'm not sure. I think I'm losing half of you here. And I said, what do I do? And he said, I can't breathe. And I'm thinking, okay. And then I realize I don't know where he's at. I don't know the name of the place. I don't have a phone number for there. The only phone number I've got is his number, and it didn't work because he can't talk to me. And I thought, I'll call his wife. And so I got on the phone, and I called Diane, and she didn't answer. I called Diane again, and she did not answer. Fortunately, that's not a right word, because things don't happen by chance. She looks at her phone, and she goes, oh, that's Lynn. She dials my number and calls me back. And I'd say, Diane, Davey is in a place, and he's in his room, and he can't breathe, and I don't know. He even told me he's talking now about heaven, and maybe he's going to be in heaven soon. And I'm thinking, what was I to do? And this, I didn't know what else to do. So I called her. And she says, no problem. You just hang up. I'll take care of it. Click, bang. And she hangs up, and she calls Reno, Nevada, and she gets a hold of the therapy hospital. Whew. I got to tell you, they went really fast getting oxygen into Dave's room and hooking him up. Now, this wasn't to put anybody down. It's only to tell you what I want you to know. Is this morning, I'm going to tell you, you need to answer this question. What are you going to do with Jesus the rest of your life? How can you live without him? Myself alone, I think now looking back 3 days ago, I heard God speak, and it wasn't like, Lynn, pick up your phone and call Reno. It wasn't that way at all. I knew somehow in me that God was speaking to my heart, and I knew I needed to do it now. And when I couldn't understand him, I mean, I'm not thinking in any terms like I'm working in a hospital. I'm not thinking about oxygen and oxygen levels and masks and he needs help and he doesn't, and nobody hooked him back up. And I wasn't thinking about any of that, but I could understand about every fifth word. And I knew that God was speaking. I also knew that I shouldn't say, Dave, hey, I'll be back about an hour. I'm going to take lunch. See you in a bit, bud. I knew that wasn't what I do either. God was speaking by the power of his Spirit. And when Jesus moves by his Spirit, man, I'm telling you, great and awesome things happen. How many believe that? Do you? I do. I just believe God is so faithful. Amen? So you're in Matthew 27, are you not? So this is the good part. This is the word part. Matthew 27, amen? When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. So let me just make this notation. It's obvious to me that the chief priests, the elders, quote, the religious, were ready to put Jesus to death. Quote, what about us that are spiritually religious? What do we do with Jesus? Let's go on. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Is that not one of the most foolish things you've ever read? Who can bind Jesus and lead him away? You know, because Jesus laid down, listen to me, because Jesus laid down the power of the Godhead in him, the Son of God, and laid it down and made his life of no reputation and assumed only the authority of man to be able to walk this life out. Now he can be led. He can be bound and can be led because man has power at that point with another man. Now, I'm telling you this. We also know that Jesus, as the Son of God, could speak and inhale and could have blown Jerusalem off the map. I understand that too. I know that he can speak and cause the waves and the wind to stop. And the men in the boat are absolutely shocked and stunned because they can't figure out who had the power to do this but the Son of God. Well, I'm speaking to you, though, because you need to understand that he allowed them to bind him and lead him away. And who did they lead him to? To Pontius Pilate. The authority, literally, at that point, of Palestine or the Israeli nation area. And so they led him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. I think that is amazing to me. I want to jump down. I want to keep the story going a little bit further here. Verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. I find it amazing that Jesus answered the sincere question of a man. But when he's accused of the chief priests and the elders and the religious, he doesn't respond to them at all. 13, then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against you?" In other words, do you not know? You're in big trouble. Because they have told me all kinds of things about you. And he answered him, never a word. There it is again. He's not going to reply to the lies and the deceit that's there inside of the religious, the false witness. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto them a prisoner. It's kind of like a prisoner exchange. And Pilate realizes, you know, I'm not really doing a good job here because I don't find any fault in Jesus. Maybe I'm going to consider this prisoner exchange. I'm going to give them Jesus, and I will keep Barabbas, and everything will go really well. Verse 15 says, now at the feast, the governor was wont to release to the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release to you? Barnabas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they have delivered him. And when he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, honey, don't have anything to do with this man. I've suffered many things of him today in a dream because of him. And the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas. Verse 22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus? Now, this is not the only time in my preaching and my ministry in this church that I've not used this passage. I felt like I should use it again this morning to be accompanying with last week when I talked to you about making decisions. Verse 22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Christ means the anointed one. Ultimately, that means Messiah. Let me read it again. I want you to answer this question. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus? Think about that. What do you and I this morning do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Not to go back and be redundant, but only to tell you, for Millie, Millie said, I know what I want to do with Jesus. I want to give him another chance with me. And I'm going to find Kenneth Gobb. That's a miracle to me. That is a miracle to me. I'm telling you today that God is a God of miracles. And anytime you put that name in the need of your miracle, heaven and earth can move. Because he is God. He is truly Lord. Is he not? I'm saying to the heart of a preacher, as he is disillusioned and he says, God, I need a sign or I don't know what'll happen. God says, was this big enough? Do you need me to stop you at another pay station? Pick up the phone, let's do it two or three times. And the Lord is saying, I'm telling you, if you're disillusioned this morning, call upon me, call upon my name. Amen. Because I am truly God. Amen? Amen. I felt like this that I've showed you in these illustrations this morning. Clear back even to Evie Hill, Dr. Hill. Dr. Hill basically said, listen, Jesus is bigger than all of the groups that run the streets of Los Angeles who are telling me to shut my mouth and not to preach in that name anymore. He says, I can't do it. I'm declaring to a great church this morning that in all of the ministry we have and in all and who we are in Christ's name, I want you to know this. When you're asked, what will you do with Jesus? I want to just say to you, I think the thing that you do with Jesus is give him all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Can you say amen? Amen. Give it all. Hold nothing back. Keep it. Walk with him. Serve him with all your heart. Do you believe that? I want to declare this to you, and I hope you listen to me. There are people this morning who say these things. They say that he is the... Excuse me, they say, this is why I won't serve the Lord. It's because he says he's the only way. I want to affirmative and say to you, that's exactly right. Jesus is the only way. And so when you're asked the question, what should I do with Jesus, who says he's the only way? I would suggest you humble yourself and say, Lord, I agree with you. You are the only way. Jesus told those who would listen that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. Amen? You know what? There's radical words today. There's crazy things being said about Jesus. But I challenge you to know that he is the only way. You say amen? I want to tell you this. Some say I'm offended and won't follow Jesus for this reason. It's because, you know what? He wants to put a cover over everything. I think that's a little bit off base, but what Jesus desires to do is put the covering of his blood over my sin. So when people begin to say, oh, he wants to put this cover over this and cover over that, he just wants to cover everything in my life and just make it dull and boring. He doesn't say that. But what he does say is, he wants to say that he is willing to put his blood as a covering over our life that our sins might be forgiven. Do you know that Jesus has the power over alcoholism? Yes. Over gluttony? Over materialism. Yes, he has the power over your environment, whatever you, or your personal sin nature. Yes. He has the power. And all of this can be covered by the precious, say precious, precious. Blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. You see, that doesn't play real well in society. Society doesn't like this very well. They would rather have their own lives and character and to go about their own personal business. But when John 3:1-19 says that Jesus is the light of the world, he says, I am the light of the world and I have the power. So this is what you do with Jesus. You believe him. You trust him. And you let him cover your life with his precious blood. Amen? I want to give you this last thought. I really believe this to be true. He tells us that we cannot save ourselves. And because of that, that is a real sticky point with people. The pilots of life, when they say, it's just, I can't handle always this covering over all of my sin and my nature. Or when Jesus says, you know what? You cannot save yourself. You can only be saved through me. How many believe that to be true? For I am the door that leads to life. I want to read this to you. Jesus speaks against the prevailing religion of today. The I can do it myself faith. Every religion that says, I can do it on my own is false. Listen, heaven, you enter heaven only through Christ. You can't get there on your own. Nirvana, paradise, drugs, religious acts, terrorism acts, nothing can put you in heaven with the Lord apart from the fact that He covers you with His blood and He has the power to be your Savior this morning. Amen. So it doesn't seem odd to me at all. It doesn't seem odd to me at all that a little girl can somehow figure out just phonetics because she's learned to read. She wasn't interested in God being nowhere. She was interested in God being now here.
That's right.
And so when God is here, anything can happen. And all things can happen. Because He loves us. He is so good. Amen? I don't know how far it is to Reno. I've driven there before. But I had no ability to do anything on my own. And when I call and I talk to my brother that I couldn't understand hardly anything, only that he's talking now about maybe not making it and going to heaven and asking me, Lynn, can you do anything? And that's all I could just try to figure out. I'm telling you, God was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He is there with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
I'm curious about something. How many of you love Jesus with everything in you? Do you? I'm proud of you. I'm glad. I want you to love Him with everything in you. Serve Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Would you close your Bibles with me? So if you're Pilate, and he's asking himself the question, what in the world am I going to do with Jesus? The religious want him dead. My wife doesn't want me to talk to him and help him. Even Barabbas, they want a murderer. They don't want the Son of God. What will I do with Jesus? And the truth is I think that he could have said, because I am Pilate, I am going to let him have life and give him a lease on life. The will of God was for Jesus to go to the cross at that moment. I know that. But he didn't know that. And so all the things that are in my life that I can make decisions about concerning the Lord, I pray that you will leave this house today knowing that when you are faced with what will I do with Jesus, will I continue to read His word and know it? Will I continue to bow before Him and seek His face? Will I honor Him with my life? Will I honor Him towards my family, my children? All that we can do in life, how much we can do, I pray that you will. And you'll serve Him with all your heart. Amen? So when you leave today, if I were to put deacons in the foyer, right at the doors, and you can't get out until you tell us what you're going to do with Jesus, what would you say? Here's what you would say. You would either come up with something incredibly convicting and it's real, or you would make up some fictitious story just to get out of that church because you know the preacher's crazy. I don't want you to make up a fictitious story what you're going to do with Jesus.
I want you to make up your mind what you're going to do with him and serve him with all your heart and everything in you and love him. Amen? I don't need somebody whose voice is really weak, because if I can't hear you, then I'll have to ask you to do it again. But be as loud as you can. Will you do that?
Amen.
Now the amens are smaller. I want you to stand. You cannot go over like 7 words. That's about it, 7 words. Because I know some of you are, you can actually go 7 chapters, and I don't want you to do that. I want you to declare to this congregation, what will you do with Jesus? You can put it even present tense to this point. What am I doing with Jesus? You can say either one. And I just want you to declare it and sit down. Declare it and sit down. What are you doing, or what will you do with Jesus? One right after the other.
I will follow Jesus.
Say it
again. When I slow down, he'll wait for me. I'll get back up again and keep following.
Amen, Matt. Praise God. Praise God.
I'll keep him with my whole heart.
Go ahead.
I'll believe in him.
Yeah. Amen.
If he tells me to jump, I'm going to jump. If he tells me to sit down, I'm going to sit down. I'll do whatever he tells me to do.
Amen.
Not for my own glory.
I'm going to serve him with my entire life.
Praise God.
I'm going to speak life over death and see people's lives change.
Amen. Praise God.
I have faith in him, and he delivers me every time.
Amen. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'll listen to him and do whatever he tells me to do.
Praise God, Lou. Yes.
I totally love Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Lynn. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
I keep putting all my faith in him and love him with all my heart and soul and mind. Praise
Carmen, God. Great word. Yes.
I'm just trying to keep up with him.
Amen. He does run fast.
Let him work in me, will to do his good pleasure.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'm going to shine his light to everybody around me.
Amen.
Amen. Good word. What will you do with Jesus? Yeah, Corey?
Yeah, I'd like to know what I can do for him.
Amen. Good word, brother. Good word. Amen. Praise God. Several more? Anybody? Just be as loud as possible. Amen, Sherry. Good word. Good word. Amen. 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 Good word. Amen. Amen. So, do you believe that in heaven, every word that you speak and utter is recorded? Do you believe that? It's not a fairy tale, it's in the Word, that every word that we speak has been spoken. It is now recorded in heaven. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
I also believe in one word starts with a C. It's a powerful word. It's called confession. If I confess with my mouth, Romans says, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. And you have confessed Jesus this morning. Amen. That is awesome. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what I did not hear? I didn't hear that you're confessing life-controlling drugs or nirvana, or you're confessing because you want to be a terrorist and enter heaven because terrorists do, you know. And I didn't hear anything like that.
I heard that Jesus is Lord from your heart. Praise God. So do something amazing one step further. When you leave today and you take the pastor and his wife out for... Wait, well, no, and I didn't mean that. Well, I want you to... When you leave today and you do go out to a restaurant, I don't want you to be silly about this or giddy or act silly. I just want you to say to that little lady or that little girl that's a waitress, Jesus, and then fill in the blank. And tell her how good Jesus is. Now, don't give her 7 chapters either because she don't have time. But just tell her, just come from church, and my pastor preached on Jesus. Just want you to know that Jesus is the Savior. That's it. Anything like that? You know? All right? Isn't God good? Stand with me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Let's sing it again. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. By your own volition, you are a surrendering people. And it's to the King of Glory. That's who you sung to. And remember, your assignment is that if you go to restaurants today, you're going to tell that little waitress, just within 7 to 10 seconds, how great Jesus is. Will you do that?
Yes.
If that don't work, then go up and down the street and preach on a street corner. All right? God bless you. Have an awesome day in the Lord. Take him with you.